You're listening to Chief Concerns.
Hear ye, hear ye. My fellow brethren and sistren of the Chief's Clan.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Please, just like, be cool for once. Thank ye.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Pew, 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 pew.
Oh, hello there! Happy Wednesday evening! Or, I guess whenever it is, because we live in a world with podcasts now. I was gonna say hello, Kansas City, but I guess it could be wherever, because we're all over the internet. Hello to you specifically, in your current place and time. My name's Josh Briscoe. I'm around. I was on with Cody like 2 hours ago. It's not like I'm foreign to these wavelengths. But I'm here right now to bring you the first episode of what we are calling Chief Concerns. Pew, 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 pew. It wouldn't be Chief Concerns if you didn't have explosions and lasers. We're going to be here Wednesday after sports night for the hopefully foreseeable future. And this is a really, really good time to be starting a Chief show in Kansas City because we're about a week out from the NFL draft. And we're going to talk about more things than just that. We're going to get to the Chiefs' stable of running backs, talk about the Chiefs' offense, where it's headed. We're going to hear some audio from Travis Kelce, Chris Jones. We may even get to some stuff from Andy Reid when they spoke earlier this week. We'll start with draft stuff, but we'll be here Wednesdays after sports night to give you an hour of just Chiefs. We will not, I can't say that we won't stray from the path if we want to laugh about something, but we will not use any of these other team names. I hear rumors about these other teams in the city currently playing professional sporting events. Not as far as I'm concerned. That does not affect these 60 minutes. These 60 minutes are for your chief concerns. That's the name of the show. So I'm extremely excited to be here. And it's a very good time, like I said, to be starting a Chief show. If you've heard me before, I was on with Cody a couple hours ago, like I just said, and I'm on weekends sometimes around here. I also have a show over on ESPN Kansas City called Almost Entirely Sports. ESPN Kansas City is our sister station. Like, it's literally like 5 feet behind me right now. It's 94.5 FM and 1510 AM. And one thing we do over there is we stream all of our stuff on Facebook on the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page. I really like it because you can watch radio. And if that's up your alley, that's kind of fun. You can also do that now for this show on the Sports Radio 810 Facebook page. So if you haven't already liked those Facebook pages, go and do it. We're live right now on the 810 page as well. So not only can you listen to this radio show, you can also watch it. And listen, I'm not going to say that I am super feeling my new haircut, but I think you're going to want to look at Facebook just to see my hair and like my jacket. That's what I'm going to try to do. I'll try to wear a different jacket and really lean into my new hairstyling. Just to give you a reason to look at Facebook. So that's the premise of the show. This is the first venture into it. Thank you for making the time to see if it's something you're interested in. Now let's talk about some Chiefs things. We're a week out from the draft, and it's a weird time because last year at this time, I was mainlining draft coverage and mock drafts and quarterback film and getting deep into these conversations. Last year at this time, the NFL draft was just heroin. Because in Kansas City, I don't want to be revisionist and say that we knew a quarterback was coming, but we knew the possibility of a quarterback was here. So it made for a really fun time. It made for a really fun pre-draft time to be a Chiefs fan. And that's not the case this year. They got the quarterback, and that made for a bunch of really good radio before and after that, and all the way up until right now, because Patrick Mahomes is an evergreen topic. We can always talk more about Patrick Mahomes, and now we're going to look at the offense, what the Chiefs can do with the weapons around him and all of that. But this has made for a strange time with Chiefs-based draft coverage, because the Chiefs don't have a first-round pick. Gave it up to go get Mahomes. Now, we have no way of possibly predicting 50-some picks. You can put guys in ranges and stuff, but I would say that in large part, our discussions about specific players, it's not useless, but it's limited. And there's a cornerback who I'll give you the name of in a little while that I think would make some sense for the Chiefs to target. And if the Chiefs are watching two or three guys particularly at the end of the first round, the beginning of the second round, are they willing to trade up? How far? Then the guys' names matter, but we don't know what the Chiefs have in mind. So right now, the thing that makes the most sense for me to be discussing is where the Chiefs do and don't need to be looking in this upcoming draft, positionally. Because we can have that conversation in a really smart manner and evaluate what the Chiefs have currently without having to discuss the first 50-some picks in the draft, having to predict those with perfect accuracy. Not a waste of breath, but a very difficult task. So the more fun task, I think, is position-based. Before we get to those specifics, though, I'm going to give you my top three needs and then one position that I don't think the Chiefs need to worry about that lots of people think that the Chiefs should be worrying about. Before any of that, the first thing we have to discuss is, will the Chiefs move up? Do they have the means to move up? And should they move up? Now, like a week ago, we were having the conversation or hearing the conversation that the Chiefs were looking to move up to the end of the first round. And that's a pretty big jump. The Chiefs would have to put together a pretty aggressive package of draft picks. Moving up in the second round is going to feel a little more feasible. Also, this can be happening the next day. Remember, the NFL draft, the first night of the draft is just the first round. It's been that way for a few years. And in the downtime between the first and second round, the Chiefs have a chance to really figure out what's left, what the value is to move up, and they can call everybody in the first 10 picks or so of day two, give everybody an offer, take the best one. So I would be surprised to see the Chiefs trade into the first round. I think there's a very reasonable chance that they move up in the second. But I'd be surprised to see the move into the first round. Part of the reason now is because what the Chiefs need to be accomplishing, they have three picks that I think you can say you expect to be contributors. Their second round pick and their two third round picks. One of those third round picks is from Washington in the Alex Smith trade. You have those three picks, and I think the Chiefs have two glaring positional needs and then a third, like, next man up positional need. And unless the Chiefs are able to fill some of those needs before the draft in the next week, or they think they're going to be able to fill it after the draft, I'll give you a couple names on that also, then you already have your hands pretty well tied. So I would look at this roster right now and say that the number one need at this point is a cornerback. I think we very easily forget what happens whenever you have a weak link. I've never seen Chiefs fans as despondent over one of their own as we were with Philip Gaines. Because every time Philip Gaines showed up, he was getting toasted, and it tended to happen in moments when you really would have loved to have not seen that. So it would stick with you. And this has happened through an array of corners throughout the last handful of years. And whenever the Chiefs traded for Kendall Fuller, and they had Kendall Fuller and Marcus Peters and then Steven Nelson in the slot, and then David Amerson as their fourth guy, the Chiefs had one of the best groups of cornerbacks in football. Peters is one of the best ones. Fuller is going to be one of the best twos. Steven Nelson will be a very good slot guy. Amerson's a perfectly fine four. What happened when they traded away Marcus Peters, though, moved everybody up one slot in that lineup. And I don't care for that then. Kendall Fuller very well may be a one. Let's just say he is. Now you're replacing Marcus Peters on the field with David Amerson, a Raider castoff that seems pretty clearly to be a depth signing for this team. You move Steven Nelson to the outside, let him play outside. We've seen that. He's an okay NFL cornerback, but he's not your number two guy. All of a sudden, you are looking, you've gone from having a surplus of talent with your corners to having a real scarcity problem. So that's the top need running away right now. The Chiefs need another cornerback. And if it's through the draft, as it basically has to be at this point, if they draft a guy, that's probably your number two opposite Kendall Fuller, Nelson back as your third guy. Or you move Fuller into the slot whenever there are three receivers on the field for the offense. That also works. Fuller's great there. That's fine with me. But I'd like to limit the number of snaps that Steven Nelson and David Emerson have to take. Also, if there's an injury anywhere, it would be catastrophic. That's the biggest need for me at this point. The number two need is safety. The two biggest needs, are both in the defensive backfield. The Chiefs cut Ron Parker, and now they're looking at starting Eric Murray or Daniel Sorensen. Not the place where you really want to be right now. Maybe Eric Murray has a nice season. Seems like he's been brought along. He came into the league as an anywhere defensive back. Now he's really gotten into the safety position. He and Steven Nelson, I think, are both clumped into this group of guys that are on the uptick, but I don't think that you want to slide through with crossed fingers defensively whenever your offense is at an unbelievable firepower capability. So the Chiefs need a safety. Badly. They need a number two corner and a starting safety, and it's really hard to do that whenever your real draft assets are a late second round pick, a mid third, and a late third. So you do trade up to get one of those guys. Now your late third pick is being used for one of your defensive starters. That worries me. Great players came out of the third round. Last time the Chiefs drafted a corner in the third round, it was Kavari Russell. Do you remember Kavari Russell? You might not. I would not be offended if you did not remember Kavari Russell. He was a draft pick that did not make the opening day roster. Don't know why. Never got the full story. Maybe just wasn't working. But that's not great. It's hard to gamble on those guys. It's hard to trust those guys. Gambling on them is easy. Believing that they're going to be a return on your investment is difficult. Before I tell you the third thing I think the Chiefs need, and the thing that I don't think they need, a solution to this problem exists. It exists possibly in the form of Trey Boston, the former Charger safety, certainly in the form of Eric Reed, the former 49er safety. Eric Reed being added to this defense, being beside Eric Berry, then Eric Murray becomes your third safety, Daniel Sorensen becomes your fourth. You suddenly have one of the strongest nucleuses in your defensive backfield in all of football, probably the best group of safeties, with Eric, and Daniel. This feels like a no-brainer to me. And Eric Reed has been out there for a while. You can have a conversation about, well, is it because he hasn't said he's not going to kneel during the national anthem? Is this a reason that he's being kept out of the league? It seemed like it was a really big reason that the Bengals ended up not signing him. I don't know. And if I'm the Chiefs, I don't care. This makes your defense substantially better immediately. Also, it eliminates your second biggest need on this defense. And I've talked, we'll eventually, and probably next week, we'll either talk to or play some clips from my show with Kent Swanson. He writes for Arrowhead Pride, and he does some really great NFL draft work. And he's made a point several times of saying, this safety class is really deep, especially right in the range where the Chiefs are going to need to be making their picks there. And I'm cool with that. And I understand that you don't want to invest financially in Eric Reed and then realize on day two of the draft that the most obvious value in the draft is at the position you just invested in. I understand the hesitance there. But if there's value at safety and you're already set at safety, you just move on to the next thing. Or you take the best available player and you figure it out. The Chiefs cannot solve their cornerback need now. The corners that have moved are basically all in LA at this point. I thought Aqib Talib would have been very interesting here, even with Marcus Peters. I obviously would love to still have Marcus Peters here. Those guys were moving out of the AFC West. The only way the Chiefs realistically can improve their cornerback situation is through the draft. They can improve their safety situation through free agency. So I wish they would just do that already. But that makes it the second biggest need right now. And if they don't sign Eric Reed, they're going to draft the safety. Or maybe they're going to try to be one of a handful of teams that sees the value of the safety position, goes through the draft, sees if the safeties fall to them, and if they don't, then you call Eric Reed or Trey Boston and go, all right, we need you now. We wanted to wait till the draft was over, but if we get through the draft without a safety that we really like at a good value, then we're going to call you. And if that's the plan, I'm cool with it. If the plan is just you're going to have to draft a guy, I'm worried. Because at this point, I mean this with no exaggeration. If the Chiefs use their second and their Washington third to trade up to get a corner, and then took another one with their own third-round pick, if their first two picks in this draft were cornerbacks, I would not be bothered. I really wouldn't. It's one of the most important positions on the field. You've already addressed your entire offense, with one exception, which we'll talk about in a second. You've got to have corners that you can believe in. The two things that can really change the game defensively, you have to have a defensive line, you have to have linebackers you can trust, but it's coverage guys and it's pass rushers that can knock a quarterback off of his pedestal. Which is why that's my number three thing. My third thing for this draft, and this is a significant drop from the first two. The third thing up that I think matters is a pass rusher. You've got one more year of Dee Ford. You feel good about Tano Passanio? Great. You could always use another pass rusher. Justin Houston, if he's healthy, then looks like Justin Houston, you feel good about him as well. He had a pretty nice season last year. Slightly overwhelmed and underrated because of the other things going on around him. But that's all fine and good. But Dee Ford won't be here next year. I'd be surprised at least. And you can't find yourself having too many pass rushers. That's not a problem that exists in the NFL. The thing that I don't think is an actual concern is the guard spot. You might be worried, I don't know, I don't feel particularly good about Brian Witzman or Parker Anger. And I get it. But if that's one of the Chiefs' first three picks, I'm going to lose my mind. Because all those needs on defense are so much higher at this point. And you saw Patrick Mahomes against the Broncos with a patchwork offensive line shrugging off pass rushers and still making unbelievable throws. Alex Smith, over the last 3 years, I think the Chiefs were in the top five as far as pass rushes allowed over the last 3 or 5 years. It was a stat that came through a little while ago, and I'm just pulling off the top of my head at this point. But Alex Smith has always been a guy that whenever pressure gets through, he drops his eyes, and that's always been hugely problematic for him. Going in the next season, you're playing with a quarterback that feels pressure incredibly well, that deals with pressure incredibly well, and that avoids pressure incredibly well. And it doesn't really rattle him because he can rely on his arm. Patrick Mahomes has been given two number one receivers, one of the two best tight ends in football, and a young, extremely talented running back. One thing that I'm not willing to give him if I'm Brett Veach is another guard. That offensive line has some money in it. The left guard spot is the biggest question mark in it. But Parker Anger, when he was healthy before last year, played pretty well. Brian Witzman's fine. That's the one thing on this offense that is like NFL replacement level at this point. It's an average player at left guard. That's it, though. That's the place where I don't think that's going to be the hole in the life raft that sinks the whole offense. And if it is, it reflects poorly on the quarterback. That's what I would have said with Alex Smith. I'll say that with Patrick Mahomes, too. So the three biggest needs are corner, safety, pass rusher in that order. And the most overrated need right now in my book is guard. Maybe they draft one to kind of replace Zach Fulton, but Zach Fulton was a sixth-round pick, and Andy Reid should be ready to do that again figure out how to grow another offensive lineman to fill into that role. This is Chief Concerns. If you're tuning in, literally other than the first like 2 minutes, you would have no idea. Because it's a brand new show here on 810. We're going to follow Sports Night on Wednesdays. We're going to give you an hour of Chiefs-based conversation. Right now is a rich time to be talking about it because they just all came back to the facilities. And we're a week away from the NFL draft, so talking about the needs and everything is super easy right now. So we're going to take our first commercial break. You're going to hear our impeccably produced liner to break. Don't leave before we actually throw to the break. Beards is here. It's usually Charlie Wednesday nights, but not today because Charlie's out at some concert or something. I'm glad Charlie's living his best life. Beers McFly is here now, though. My name's Joshua Briscoe. Whenever we come back, we'll talk about some of the things that we heard out of the Chiefs facility this week. Also, if you want to make any calls or leave any comments, you can comment on the Facebook page. We are live streaming the show on the 810 Facebook page. Leave your questions or comments there, and we will rattle through them at some point. Also, you can call the station, 913-3810-810, and we'll take your calls. JT's on the line. We'll get to him as soon as we get back. But Facebook comments are great. It's a really nice perk of the Facebook section because I assume your comments are all going to be tremendous, and it's very easy for me to just respond to these great comments. And if they're terrible, I'll pretend I didn't see them. It's the beauty of the internet. We'll be right back.
Chief Concerns. Pew, 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 pew.
Welcome back to Chief Concerns here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Joshua Briscoe. This is our maiden voyage with this show, and I think I'm going to smile every time I listen to the rejoin. It's fantastic. We stream the show on Facebook live, the whole show, so if you go there, you can leave any questions or comments you may have. We'll take them there. Also, you can call 810, which JT did before I even gave permission to call. JT, thank you for being the first caller on Chief Concerns. You've won nothing, actually.
Hey, man, when I heard you were going to have the Marcus Peters Memorial broadcast, I knew I had to jump on here right away.
That was the second name for the show, but it was a little too long. Not a good hashtag.
Got it. And now, just to clarify the rules, you said that none of the other professional teams are to be discussed.
Correct. They do not exist
so
in this
no
hour.
Royals, no Sporting.
I just hear
no
static.
Jazz,
when you say that, I just hear static, actually. You said a bunch of words there that didn't register with me.
Not even the Jayhawks basketball?
No, I keep hearing static.
Throw it out there. Okay. Hey, man, I think the Chiefs are going to break your heart in this.
yeah, probably.
I think they're going to trade up in the top of the second or the bottom of the first, and I think they're going to pick a safety.
Yeah.
And I base that on one simple thing, is this draft is the deepest at safety.
Yeah.
And so for that reason, and the fact they want somebody cheap and they want somebody who doesn't kneel during the national anthem, I'm pretty sure that's what's going to happen. What do you think?
I think that's as reasonable as anything. I would still jumping into the first round would surprise me, but trading up for a safety would not, for all of those reasons. And it would be frustrating because I think corner would ultimately show itself to be a problem. Because safety is so deep, that's why I want to hope that the trade up is for corner, where it's more shallow, and then they're willing to wait for safety to come to them. But it wouldn't surprise me if they traded up and ended up being a safety.
Yeah, I agree with you. I believe that the Chiefs believe much more. What's the guy that came over from the Raiders?
David Anderson. Yeah.
Yeah, I believe they think he's going to actually turn into something and produce like he did a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And that's why I think they think they're locked in, and it may make for a long season of high scoring games, but I'm not worried because we have Patrick Mahomes.
Cut that, Beards. Save that forever. I'm not worried because we have Patrick Mahomes. That's the third name for this show. Thank you for calling, JT.
Thanks, guys.
I love that. I'm not worried because we have Patrick. We need to turn that into another liner to break. We can put lasers and stuff on it also.
That'll be just another show.
That's fine. Yeah, from 10 to 11 today, we're going to do I'm Not Worried Because We Have Patrick Mahomes. This show is going to be like logical and like formulated and everything. I'm not worried because we have Patrick Mahomes. You call in and ask me a question, and then I just yell far away from the mic, I'm not worried because we have Patrick Mahomes! I think that's the next show.
I'm glad there's nobody else here.
I know.
So that you can yell as much as you want.
It was really liberating to just sort of scream because the building is empty besides you and me. It felt nice. Speaking of, man, JT is also stepping in and giving us the segue, which is real smooth. Speaking of, I'm not worried because we have Patrick Mahomes. There was one common theme that kept coming out of the Chiefs facilities earlier this week. The players came back and the Chiefs trotted out. God bless Chiefs PR for doing this, by the way, because, man, it's just a trough of things for us to talk about in radio. Like 15 players talked, and then Reed and Mahomes spoke on either end of it. But the common thread throughout most of this was about the offense, because everyone's going to ask about Pat Mahomes, because that's the big story. And there are two clips I want to play for you here before we actually talk about it in full. Chris Jones and Travis Kelce both had really good things to say. You know what? Let's play Kelce first, because I want you to have dessert second. Travis Kelce's a little bit of eating your vegetables here. He says really good things that I'm excited about, but Chris Jones is absolutely the dessert of I'm not worried because we have Patrick Mahomes. So here's what Travis Kelce said. He was asked what we haven't seen yet from the offense and from Pat Mahomes, and he had an answer that's going to make you scream out your car window, "I'm not worried because we have Patrick Mahomes."
I think that it's even stuff that I haven't seen, and that's the ability to make plays. I mean, his ability to make plays, the throws that he makes in practice, it's mind-blowing. You know, it really is. It's hard to explain how good this guy can be if he just puts it all together. And it's right now, I think his biggest challenge is just the timing of the offense, and that comes with repetition, an off-season program, and getting to know his wide receivers. So I think it's going to be fun, and at the same time, we're going to have to grow together.
Mind-blowing! The things he can do are mind-blowing! And seriously, the things that the places where Kelce couched it there were like, yeah, if he can just, you know, put it all together and he gets into the repetitions of it all, like, this is something I think you can feel good about. Seems like Patrick Mahomes is capable of putting it all together. Also, he doesn't have to put together the pieces to become Alex Smith. Like, if you had a Millennium Falcon Lego set, and you just dumped all those... This analogy is going somewhere. You have a Millennium Falcon Lego set.
You have me so far.
And you just dump it out on the table, and you have Andy Reid there reading you the instructions. And you go, oh, man, there's a lot of pieces there. I don't know, can you put it all together? And you go, yeah, you just got to put it together into a pod racer. Like, whoa, no, listen. I don't need... Patrick Mahomes does not need to become a perfectly functioning pod racer, which is what Alex Smith was. Give me a Millennium Falcon with a little bit, with an issue here or there. Maybe Alex Smith was an X-Wing. That's probably better. It's refined. It's mass-produced.
It's classic.
It's classic. It's clean. But it's also...
It's not going to give you a bunch of issues.
No. But it's also no match for the Millennium Falcon. The Millennium Falcon's got some rust and some loose pieces, and sometimes you got to plug something here to here to get it to go into light speed.
You got to bypass the compressor?
Sometimes you have to bypass the compressor. Patrick Mahomes is about bypassing the compressor. So you got Andy Reid there reading him the instruction on how to put together the Millennium Falcon. If you missed a couple pieces, it's still the Millennium Falcon. And I think that Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes together can work together to put together the Millennium Falcon. Also, on the fly, best analogy I've ever come up with. Patrick Mahomes is a Millennium Falcon. Is the Millennium Falcon. Alex Smith is an X-Wing. Andy Reid is Yoda? Maybe?
Andy Reid's like Qui-Gon.
I think he's Yoda because he has all of these other Jedi that he has trained. Like, Doug Peterson is at this point, is Obi-Wan.
Yoda's like perfection, though. That's the thing.
Who's a Jedi that has, like, one major glaring weakness?
Qui-Gon. He got cut in half.
Fair. Fair point. Good correction. Nothing to respond to that with. So that's Travis Kelce being cool-headed and refined, as we've learned that Travis Kelce truly, usually is. So now here's your dessert. Here's Chris Jones talking about the Chiefs offense, and just let him speak to you.
Oh, he's going to be amazing. We're going to light it up, baby. We're going to light it up on offense. We got Sammy Watkins. We got Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. We got a monster in the backfield. ready to take off, man. Patrick, thanks to Alex Smith. Such a professional guy, man. But Patrick, oh, my God. It's going to be something serious, man.
So when you say we, does that include you? You continue campaigning to get the ball out of the goal line?
Of course. I think it's about time we take the necessary steps as an organization and put Chris Jones back there.
You realize that if you mess it up, you only get once, right? That's what the last guy said?
Yeah, you know, that's how it happened for big guys in that position, you know. We only got one time to mess up, so, you know, I'm going to make sure I go out there and practice throwing the ball to receivers and all. So when my number is called, I'll be ready.
Listen, he's got a lot of tools. As long as he's got a lot of pieces, as long as he can put them all together, I think Chris Jones could be QB2.
No, like, just listening to Chris Jones, you can't listen to him and not be happy. He is such a joy to listen to. And also, again, this is like quintessential. This is the fourth title for this show. The fourth subtitle is this.
But Patrick, oh my God.
It just makes me so happy.
We're going to have to make a long intro for all these extra names that we're throwing in.
Yeah, we really are. Can you just stay here overnight and work on all that for me, please, Beards?
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of titles, but they're all very good. Like, the optimism is there offensively. And it's also coming from, like, nationally as well. And again, this is something that Cody Tapp and I on Sports Night a couple hours ago tapped into more. No pun intended. Sorry. We tapped into this more. If you want to go back and listen to Hour 2 of Sports Night, I'm guessing it's on the 810 podcast page or will be soon. And there's a conversation around the Chiefs offense right now that's really exciting. It's what can't they do? What's the ceiling here? And I thought Cody had a good point. The one thing with all the hype here is that the floor also has to raise of the floor of what would be acceptable. If this isn't a top 10 offense this year, are we going to be disappointed? If it's on a top 5 offense, can they win a playoff game? I thought that was a very good follow-up from Cody. But, like, from a national perspective, Greg Rosenthal was on NFL Network, and he gave 3 teams that he thinks can contend with the Patriots for the AFC. Also, the AFC, pretty weak at this point, relatively considering outside of the Patriots realm. The 3 teams that Rosenthal gave, in order, were the Chiefs, the Chargers, and the Texans. We always do this for the Chargers in April. And they have the pieces. Can they just put them together? And they never put them together. They always make a pod racer out of the Millennium Falcon pieces.
You talk like pod racers are awful.
They're just, they can't go into deep space.
Okay.
They're just held to the ground. Now, I like pod racers.
Yeah.
But they're also very much like...
They're very
held
fragile.
Together by duct tape.
They're very fragile.
Yeah. So, no, this is not a knock on pod racers. I'm just saying they're not going to be, they can't travel between planets.
That's fair.
Like, I really like scooters, but I wouldn't want my NFL team to be a Razor scooter.
How dare you?
I would like a Lamborghini, please. So, the Chargers always put it together, whatever, did they can put it together. The Texans are really interesting. They have much more talent on defense right now than the Chiefs do. They've got 2 very good pass rushers. They just signed Tyrann Mathieu to add to kind of the jambalaya they had already been working on defensively. And Deshaun Watson's coming back from injury. Super interesting. But look around the rest of the AFC. Maybe not even just for 2018, but for 2019, where I think the window is really the most wide open. Maybe 2020. Look around the AFC and tell me who else in the league has a better setup and a brighter future than the Chiefs do. The Steelers and the Chargers are probably both better prepared for 2018. Probably. But Ben Roethlisberger seems to be nearing the end of his career. Same goes for Philip Rivers. And you can ask, does anyone in the conference have better offensive weapons than Mahomes and Andy Reid have to work with? Remove the offensive line and the quarterback and the defense, just offensive weapons.
The Steelers have Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster and Martavis Bryant and then, like, Jesse James. That's a really good cast of characters. The Chiefs, opposite that, have Kareem Hunt and Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins and Travis Kelce. And I guess Chris Conley is equivalent to Jesse James in this one. But who else after that? Who else is even close? There's not anybody. No one else in the AFC is equipped the way the Chiefs are. You know, Houston's got Will Fuller behind DeAndre Hopkins. That's great. And the Chargers have Keenan Allen and, like, Hunter Henry. The Chiefs have firepower, man. And a quarterback who I have to imagine is just itching to use it. And also, a play caller who's itching to use it. So what's the future of the AFC then? Let's get beyond Phillip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger. Maybe not even beyond Tom Brady, but just contending with Tom Brady. Who's left? I mean, Deshaun Watson, probably. We got like half a season from him, and then he had a catastrophic injury. Also, he wasn't as accurate as you might think in retrospect. You go back and look at the actual tape. Big plays, big arm, thrill to watch. Not terribly accurate. Other guys, maybe Andrew Luck. We haven't seen him play in a blue moon. I think maybe if I would have said full moon, I could have made like a werewolf joke. He kind of looks like a werewolf.
Blue moon's a beer joke.
Yeah, it wasn't really, I didn't really need to make a beer joke. We haven't seen Andrew Luck play in a, let's try this, a long, long time. Does his shoulder work? Does he just have, like, goo in there at this point? Is his arm being held on by, like, flubber? Like, you could literally, which I think might be a competitive advantage.
No, I think flubber would actually do the reverse.
But I think maybe you should have some, like, slingshotting capabilities. I'm not sure.
Just replace his arm with a trebuchet.
Perfect. Is Andrew Luck's arm at this point just a trebuchet? We have no idea. You've probably got one or two more years of Roethlisberger and Rivers. And then you've got whatever the Patriots put together around Brady and Belichick. That's your competition. And that's been an unclimbable mountain for a good long while. But the Chiefs are building the Chiefs are building their team in a way that makes sense, finally. They've got a super talented young quarterback on a rookie contract. The NFL is about value. And I've said this on like 8 different shows in my lifetime here. In the last 6 months.
Humble brag.
Not what I meant. My point being that every time I find a new time slot to say this, I will eventually say it. The NFL is a value game. More than anything else. I would argue more than it's a talent game. Everybody in the NFL is talented. But if you can find value in a couple of places, then you can go spend normal market value or even overpay to bring in more talent. The value allows you to acquire the talent. So the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes, and having Patrick Mahomes on a rookie deal compared to Alex Smith's contract allows you to go sign Sammy Watkins. A little rough around the edges there, but that's pretty close to a one-to-one exchange. Pat Mahomes on a rookie deal plus Sammy Watkins equals about the cap hit of Alex Smith. You also have Kareem Hunt on a rookie deal and Tyreek Hill on a rookie deal and Travis Kelce on a good deal. So you don't panic about maybe overpaying Eric Berry or Justin Houston. That doesn't cripple you in the way that it did whenever you were also paying Alex Smith a pretty penny. The Chiefs are building this team in a way that allows you to be the Eagles. The Eagles were in the bottom 10, at least, in the NFL in money spent on a quarterback last year. Even though they lost Carson Wentz, he's on a rookie deal, and Nick Foles was a backup making backup money. You need to have elite quarterback play or value quarterback play to give yourself the best chance to win in the NFL. Frankly, in the modern era, that's been the only way to do it. But like the Vikings got very close last year. They didn't have quarterback value. They were paying 3 different guys. And they didn't have elite quarterback play. and they got very close. But for winners, it's always been elite or cheap. Joe Flacco was in the last year of his rookie deal. Ben Roethlisberger was in his rookie deal the first time they won. Regardless, though, just allow yourself to say, for the best chance, that's how you do it. And the Chiefs are doing it that way. And so you might find a think piece about how the Chiefs overspent for Sammy Watkins. They decided that Sammy Watkins was going to be a vital piece to help this offense step up and a vital piece to give to Patrick Mahomes in his growth. And the defense at this point has some good players and some big gaps. Maybe the defense is this team's Sarlacc pit. But the Chiefs, offensively, they might be building a Death Star. Ooh.
Or at least a Super Star Destroyer. At the very least.
Yeah. Maybe they're building Starkiller Base. That was bigger than the Death Star, right?
Way bigger.
By a lot. It would kill the stars.
It blew up like 3 planets in one shot. What did the Death Star ever do? One.
That's a great point.
Gosh.
So like the Randy Moss...
Death Star, overrated.
The Randy Moss... Ooh, what a spicy take. The Randy Moss Patriots were Starkiller Base. All right, you know what? I can settle with the Death Star.
Chief Concerns.
Pew, 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 pew. If that ever stops being funny, I'm going to quit the show. That'll be the moment whenever I know that I've lost my sense of humor. It makes me so happy. If you missed any of the show, by the way, we'll be putting them up on the 810 podcast page, 810whb.com. I'll be putting them there. Beards looked at me as if he was expecting that I was going to make him do it. I got it. I got a sweet little logo, too. So that'll be up there. I'll tweet it out also, at JB Briscoe. Holy bleep, that's the first time I gave up my Twitter handle.
Took this long?
That took 52 minutes.
That being said, it is on the Facebook page or on the Facebook video. And bright neon lights.
That's true. Everything's in bright neon lights, though. That's the aesthetic. It's like a night show. It's a post-sports night show. So that's that. You can always leave comments and questions on the Facebook page. This is going to be the easiest way for us to communicate during the show. Because I can pluck them out whenever it fits into the show best. Right now, that ends up being the end of the show. Manny commented, why is everyone down on Sammy? Did I say anything about Sammy Watkins that was negative? I don't remember. I don't think I did. Anyway, I guess people talking about overpaying for him. It's just a lot of money for a receiver that hasn't been Odell Beckham. But even with the numbers of the seasons that he's been with even like a bad quarterbacks, he's produced pretty well. I'm not down on Sammy Watkins. And interestingly, this is something I've mentioned several times because it's stuck with me. I talk with Seth Kaiser a lot over on my show on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5. Just go to the Facebook page. Just go like the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page. I don't have to give this spiel the whole time. The show's basically about being on the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page. Also, production value. Mwah, chef kiss.
Very good.
It's extremely good.
We MacGyvered it ourselves.
We did, and it's beautiful. But Seth Kaiser was on Almost Entirely Sports with me a while ago, and I made him answer a really mean, difficult question, which is, how do you rank the Chiefs pass catchers at this point in whatever that means to you? And he said, Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins, Tyreek Hill. He also, like a week ago, tweeted out a GIF of Tyreek Hill making an incredible play and said, this is a top 10 receiver. What does that tell you about his opinion on Sammy Watkins? One thing I figured out, and Manny said he meant like all the NFL people and stuff. I think it's because of that. I think it's because he's not been Odell Beckham. He was a very high pick, and he's been hampered with bad quarterbacks in last year in LA, a situation where he joined that team like a week before the season in a very highly schemed offense. But for me, and I think this is something I have to deal with watching coverage anyway throughout this season, for me, you look at all those pass catchers, I don't think that you can even judge those guys' seasons based off of their individual accomplishments, because it's going to be about the offense as a whole. Some of its parts, rising tides, whatever. If Sammy Watkins has a 600-yard season and catches 5 touchdowns, but the offense puts up 7,000 yards as opposed to last year's 6,000 and a ton of points a game, adding Sammy Watkins was worth it because defenses have to be terrified. That's why the Chiefs paid for Sammy Watkins. This hour went by real fast. Also, though, we had a wealth of things to pull from. Next week, we'll be doing the same thing. We'll be back here again next week. I don't know if it's going to be 9 or 10. It's after sports night here on Wednesdays on Sports Radio 810. We'll be giving you a draft preview show. It'll be the day before the first round of the draft, or 2 days before the Chiefs have a pick. And we'll be back to tell you about all of those good things. Thanks, Beers McFly, for producing all of this. My name's Joshua Briscoe. This has been Chief Concerns on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm not worried because we have Patrick Mahomes. Bye, Mom.
Chief Concerns. Pew, 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 pew.